Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, How to Find Your Life Purpose, an Unconventional Approach. One of the reasons I want to talk about this is that for so many of us, we don't always know the right road to take for our purpose. But if you really look and you really turn inside yourself, you can find who you are, because each one of us are unique. Each one of us have different qualities than anyone else around us. And we each have behavior patterns that make us strong in certain areas and weak in other areas. So it's the idea of finding out what it is that you truly love to do, that you can do forever and make a good living at. The purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experience. Let's say you're feeling unmotivated, unsure of yourself, aimless, can't find your passion, directionless, not clear on what your purpose is in life. You're in a good company. Most people are in the same boat. Now, there are about a million things that online telling you how to find your passion in life. And that's a good thing. It's a search worth undertaking. I'm not going to give you a foolproof method or a five-step method, nor share my passion manifesto with you. I'm going to give you a one-step method. However, that one-step method is a doozy. The one step to finding your purpose. It's simply this. Learn to get outside your personal bubble. Your personal bubble is the small world you live in. We all have one. Where you are the center of the universe. You are concerned with your well-being, with not wanting to look bad, with succeeding in life, with your personal pleasure, good food, good music, good sex. This is the bubble we all live in most of the time. And people who say they don't are trying to prove something. When someone tells you, look, that when someone tells you that you look fat, this only hurts because you're in your personal bubble. You take the statement, a colleague who says you look fat, and believe that it's about you, and feel the pain, the embarrassment of how the statement affects you. It matters a lot because in your bubble, what matters most is how everything affects you personally. When you think about that, what does that do? And in psychology, in transactional analysis, what they're basically saying is the child says, I want. And when you tell yourself, I want to be beautiful, or I want to be perfect. Guess what? When someone says you're fat, that really translates into that they are seeing you differently than you see yourself. And it's a matter of how do you take in the message they're giving you, how you feel about yourself, and come to a medium where you can understand that what they're saying, but also take it as a means of maybe a little bit of improvement, but maybe not, or maybe readjust some of your thinking. It's just a matter of not letting it become something that you hear and then you keep repurposing and hearing and over and over and over again in your head, because then what happens is you end up having an eating disorder because you don't see yourself as being perfect. And that is not the purpose of what it is. So I'm the same way. So is everyone else. Some other problems caused by this personal bubble. In our bubble, we're concerned with our pleasure and comfort and try not to be uncomfortable. This is why we don't exercise, why we don't only eat healthy food. This fear of being uncomfortable is also why we get anxious at the thought of meeting strangers. It hampers our social lives, our love lives, because we don't want to look bad. We are afraid of failing, so we don't tackle tough things. We procrastinate because of this fear of failing, this fear of discomfort. When someone does or says something, we relate that event with how it affects us, and this can cause anger or pain or irritation. We expect people to try to give us what we want, and when they don't, we get frustrated and angry. Actually, pretty much all of our problems are caused by this bubble, including the difficulty in finding our life purpose. But more on that in a minute. I ask for your patience here, because this is important. What happens when we get out of the bubble? If we can learn to get outside this personal bubble and see things from less self-centered approach, we can see some amazing things. When someone says or does something, it's not really about us. It's about pain and fear or confusion they're feeling, or a desire they have, not us. When we have an urge for temporary pleasure, TV, social media, junk food, sex, we can see that this urge is a simple, passing physical sensation and not the center of the universe. We can start to see that our personal desires are actually pretty trivial, and that there's more to life than trying to meet our pleasures and shy from our discomfort. There's more than our little fears, including the pain and suffering of other people and comparison and compassion for them. Compassion for all living beings, wanting to make the world better. We can tie our daily actions, like learning about our minds and bodies and habits at work, or getting healthy, or creating something, not only to our personal satisfaction and success, trivial things, but how they help others, how they make the lives of others better, how they might lessen the suffering of others. We become less self-centered and begin to have a wider view. Everything changes from letting go to fear of anger and procrastination to changing our habits and finding work that matters. How does this relate to finding our life purpose? Let's explore that. true. And the good news? Three ancient secrets used. Okay, now, the viewer, the wider viewer, and our life purpose. And think about it. When you talk about your life purpose, have you ever thought about it or what it means? Once we get out of the bubble and see things with a wider view, we can start a journey along a path like this. We can start to see the needs of others and feel for their suffering. We then work to make their lives better and lessen their suffering. We then work to make their lives better and lessen their suffering. Even if we aren't good at that, we can learn skills that help us to be better at it. It's the intention that matters. As we go about our daily work, we can tie our actions to this greater purpose, learning the program to become healthy, for example, isn't just for our betterment, but for the betterment of others, even in a small way. So let's stop a minute and take a look at what we are talking about here. We are talking about the wider view of our life purpose. How do we find our life purpose? And let's review these four things again. We can start to see the needs of others and feel their suffering. What that means is, can you be empathetic? Can you put yourself in that person's place? If you can do that, then you will be more conscious of the things you say and how hurtful they can be. And if you can't do that, then it is a loss for both of you, because what could be a great relationship is torn down, and it's creating animosity between the two of you. We then work to make their lives better and lessen their suffering. That is what we mean when we're talking about being empathetic. If you understand and can put yourself in the other person's place, then you can understand what they're feeling when you say hurtful things to them. Even if we aren't good at that, we can learn skills that help us to be better at it. It's the intention that matters. As we go about our daily work, we can tie our actions to this greater purpose, learning to program or become healthy. For example, isn't just for the betterment, but for the betterment of others, even in a small way. This gives us motivation to, on a moment to moment basis. When we lose motivation, we need to get back to our bubble, shed our concern for our discomfort and fears, and tie ourselves to a bigger purpose. In this path, it doesn't matter what specific actions you take or skills you learn to make the people's lives better. What career you choose is not important. What matters is the bigger purpose. You can always change your career and learn new skills later as you learn other ways to fulfill this purpose. You'll learn over time. What matters is becoming bigger than yourself. Once you do, you learn that you have a purpose in life. What I would like to say here is, what a lot of people don't realize is that who we are as we grow up, the environment affects who we are, technology affects how we do things, Everything changes from day to day, and it is important to constantly learn, to constantly be willing to change, to make yourself a better person, to put yourself where you truly want to be in life. And what makes a relationship work one day may not work, make it work the next day. But if you truly love and respect each other, you find a way to make those changes, to adapt on a daily basis, to make that relationship work over time. How to get out of the bubble. Sounds great, but getting outside your personal bubble isn't as easy as just saying, let it be so. It takes work. First, you must see when you're stuck in the bubble. Whenever you're angry, frustrated, irritated, fearful, anxious, procrastinating, feeling hurt, wishing people would be different, you're in the bubble. These are signs. You are at the center of your universe, and everything is relating to you and your feelings. When you can't stick to habits or have a hard time with a diet, you're in the bubble. Your momentary pleasure is what matters in this bubble. Outside the bubble, they're just little events, sensations, or desires, or urges that can help you let go. Second, when you notice that you're in the bubble, expand your mind and heart. See the biggest picture. Feel what others must be feeling. Try to understand rather than condemning. See how little and petty your concerns and fears have been. Realize that if others treat you badly, it's not about you, but about their suffering. Third, wish others well. Genuinely want their happiness, just as you want your own happiness. See their suffering and wish for it to end or lessen. Fourth, so how can you help? How can you lessen the suffering of others? Sometimes it's just paying attention, just listening. Other times, you just need to be there. Just lend a hand and don't need to go around solving everyone's problems. They are probably just don't want that. Just be there for them and see if you can make people's lives better. Create something to make them smile. Make one little part of their world, a cup of tea, an article of clothing you've sewn. Be a little space of goodness. Repeat this process multiple times a day, and you'll get better at it. You'll learn to be bigger than yourself. You'll learn that life, as we've been given a gift, and we must make the most of it, and not waste a second. You'll learn that there is nothing more fulfilling than making the lives of others a little bit better. And what have we been talking about? More than anything, it's understanding that what is your life purpose? There are so many ways to look at it and take a way of finding who you are and what your life purpose is, because we all have to understand that how we see things, how we relate to things, who we are, where we are, depends on so many of the things that you need to take a look at. So let's look at some more ways to help you find your life purpose. Here's one. What's your favorite flavor of shit sandwich? And does it come with an olive? The all important question, what flavor of shit sandwich should you like to eat? Because here's the sticky little truth of life that you don't tell you at high school pep rallies. Everything sucks some of the time. Now, that probably sounds incredibly pessimistic. And as you may be thinking, hey, Mr. Manson, turn that frown upside down. But actually, I think this is a liberating idea. Everything involves sacrifice. Everything includes some sort of cause. Nothing is pleasurable or uplifting all the time. So the question becomes, what struggle or sacrifice are you willing to tolerate? Ultimately, what determines our ability to stick with something we care about is our ability to handle the rough patches and ride out the inevitable rotten days. And basically, what we're saying here is, you know what? We all have ups and downs in our lives. We have good days, we have bad days. It's how you manage the lows in your life and the highs in your life. And what I want to say here is that many of us have the ability to do this, but for some people who are manic depressive or bipolar, then what happens is it's a chemical imbalance in the brain, so they have to take certain medications to balance it out. And when you balance it out, you find a way to deal with the ups, the downs that you have on a daily basis. What is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry? When I was a child, I used to write stories. I used to sit in my room for hours by myself, writing away about aliens, about superheroes, about great warriors, about my friends and family. Not because I wanted anyone to read it, not because I wanted to impress my parents or teachers, but for the sheer joy of it. And then for some reason, I stopped, and I don't remember why. We all have a tendency to lose touch. To lose touch while on what we loved as a child. Something about the social pressures, adolescence, and professional pressures of young adulthood squeezes the passion out of us. We're taught that the only reason to do something is we're somehow rewarded for it. What makes you forget to eat and poop? We've all had the experience where we get so wrapped up in something that minutes turn into hours, and hours turn into, holy crap, I forgot to have dinner. Supposedly, in his prime, Isaac Newton's mother had to regularly come in and remind him to eat because he would go entire days so absorbed in his work that he would forget. I used to be like that with video games. This probably wasn't a good thing. In fact, for many years, it was kind of a problem. I would sit and play video games instead of doing more important things like studying for an exam or showering regularly or speaking to other humans face to face. How can you better embarrass yourself? Before you were able to be at something, to be good at something and do something important, you must first suck at something or have no clue to what you're doing. And what we're talking about is the fear of failure. You cannot fear to fail because what you learn in failure teaches you a new skill that can help you succeed in the future. So, how are you going to save the world? In case you haven't seen the news lately, the world has a few problems. And by a few problems, what I really mean is everything is fucked and we're all going to die. I've harped on this before, and the research also bears it out. But to live a happy and healthy life, we must hold on to the values that are greater than our own pleasure or satisfaction. Gun to your head, if you had to leave the house all day, every day, where would you go and what would you do? For many of us, the enemy is just old-fashioned complacency. We get into our routines. We distract ourselves. The couch is comfortable. The Doritos are cheesy, and nothing new happens. What is the problem? What most people don't understand is that passion is the result of action, not the cause of it. Discovering what you're passionate about in life and what matters to you is a full contract sport, a trial and error process. None of us know exactly how we feel about an activity until we actually do the activity. So, if you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do and how would you want to be remembered? Most of us don't like thinking about death. It freaks us out. Thinking about our own death, surprisingly, has a lot of practical advantages. One of those advantages is that it forces us to zero in on what's actually important in our lives and what's just frivolous and distracting. When I was in college, I used to walk around and ask people, if you had a year to live, what would you do? As you can imagine, I was a huge hit at parties. A lot of people gave vague and boring answers. A few drinks were nearly spiked on me. Wait a minute. A few drinks were nearly spit on me. But it did cause people to really think about their lives in a different way and reevaluate what their priorities are. What is your legacy going to be? What are the stories people are going to tell when you're gone? What is your obituary going to say? Is there anything to say at all? If not, what would you like it to say? How would you start working towards that today? Have you ever thought about what your legacy is and how you want to be remembered, what you are going to leave behind when you're gone? So many people do not realize that the behavior they exhibit today influences how people remember them in the past. And this is what I want to finish up with, because I think it is important for you to understand how relationships work. Because in essence, I grew up with a disability and I had a family that was very negative and a mother that would always tear me down and tell me what I couldn't do. And a father that hit first and asked questions later. And what I remember about them is this, that when I think of my father, I remember my hands going up over my head. When I think of my mother, I think of how sad I am that we never came to terms and built a relationship with each other before she died.